I've not got a 10-minute message. It's a little bit longer. I know if I chop it up, and that's what I usually try to do because I'm kind of a stickler about trying to stick to time. Can I have an extra 10 minutes? Will you guys give me that permission? Also, Glenn Morrison, Glenn, raise your hand. He just got back from a self-supporting missionary trip, and we're going to have him talk a little bit too so you could hear that. I just really think that it's a neat deal to see people stand up and just start their own ministry and do it, you know, and I think that's an encouragement for all of us that we have no idea what God can do through us if we give our lives to him. And when we give our lives to him, the scripture tells us that he gives us a portion of a gift, and then we live up to it, and he gives us more, and he gives us more, and then next thing you know, here I am. You know, in my life, who would ever expected that? And in your life, where you are now. So this is great. Ladies, I'm just going to go right to slide 10, okay? Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4. We're studying the Ephesians verse by verse, and I want to start with just verse 4, and let's read it together. Just as he chose or selected us in him before the foundation of the world that we should be, and it means that we have a purpose to be, and we also have a design to be holy ones and without blame before him in love. And, you know, as I thought about that, I thought about our last song that we sang, Holy, Holy, Holy is the Lord God Almighty. And I thought, isn't it amazing that this holy God, this pure, blameless God, has decided to make us pure and blameless and holy as well? Isn't that neat? What a neat thing. He's the only one that could do that. Now, let me do a quick review. 2 weeks ago, we realized that we were holy and blameless, that and like I said, that we are designed. And then I talked about three particular blessings that we get that are important to us, which are desperately needed. You can go to the next. Oh, there we go. In our life and for us to live out our Christian life, whether we realize it or not. And the first one is this holy and blameless. That we don't have to be preoccupied with the chance we might slip up and go to hell. I'm just putting it straight on the line with you. That God completely took care of that on the cross, and so that's yesterday's worry, not today's worry. Number two is that he adopted us into the family of God, and it's a legal adoption, and we stand as family members. We are not abandoned, we are not alone, but we partake in his riches and his strength. And man, do we need that to grow in our Christian life. And then the third one is we are accepted. We are acceptable in Christ just as we sit this morning. Yes, he wants us to grow. He wants us to be able to do that. But the point is, we are okay the way we are as far as God goes. And it's like I said last week, not only does God love us, but he likes us. And, you know, I thought about that, and I thought, you know, isn't it interesting in life, we get to people, and personality-wise, there's some people we don't really like all that well. Well, God doesn't have that problem. And he likes us all, and the people that we don't like, he really likes. And you know what that tells us? We better get it together, because we got to spend eternity with him, right? So let's continue to explore this first blessing of having become holy and blameless. We were in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 3. I want to continue there. It said, for this is the will of God, this is the desire of God, your sanctification, your holiness, that you should abstain from sexual immorality. Man, he's serious. Now, our Bible gives us an interesting statement right after that, and this is the one we're going to camp on and talk about today. Verse 4, that each of you should know how to possess or control his own vessel, meaning your body and your personality, in holiness and honor, in sanctification and honor. We are to know that. Since we are holy, we are designed to be holy. Since holiness is already within us, let us simply live it out, is what God's saying. Now, here's something that I've learned through the years is when God tells you to do something, he gives you every tool available to be able to do it. And so I want to tell you ahead what we're going to study next week, and then I'm going to come back and I'm going to give you the conclusion of my sermon, and then I'm going to preach it, all right? Okay, so first of all, next week we're going into 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and we're going to learn about God's part, his part in our sanctification and holiness. God gives us spiritual knowledge, first of all. The second is God communicates that spiritual knowledge to us directly on an ongoing basis. Three, he has given us the ability to understand all spiritual things. And then four, he gives us the mind of Christ. And we're going to study that next week. And that's going to be a fun sermon. Okay. Now, let's start with our part. And if you have listening ears today, if you have a teachable heart this morning, here's what I want to tell you. This is the conclusion. So as soon as I get done, you who have to go can just get up and go. Because you heard it, okay? We walk or are walking in holiness unless we choose to sin. All right, that's not quite the way we think about it, is it? Here's how we usually think about it. We are walking in sin unless we do something right. Isn't that right? Yeah, how many times have you heard, oh, we are filthy, stinking, rotten sinners, and we just sin all the time, and our mind's sinning, and all this and that kind of thing, and every once in a while we get it right. Sometimes by accident, sometimes on purpose. Well, I don't think that's what the Bible teaches. And I think the reason we think that is because we read the scriptures and we realize no one's righteous, no, not one, and we're evil-hearted, and even worse than that, we feel the crush of temptation in our life. And sometimes some of the temptations that come in our life are really a crush, aren't they? Okay, I just want to make sure you're okay. All right. And when we get in, and so we think that we're that evil person, once in a while we get it right, and so we are losers. Okay, right? Well, that's not how God looks at us. He not only loves us, he likes us. He does not think we're losers. And yet, we kind of think that. He claims the reverse. Let me read this out of 2 Corinthians 5:17. Okay, and while I'm reading it, I want you to yell out the words in yellow. Okay? Or as my little grandson says, Lello. Okay? All right. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a creation. Have passed away, behold, have become. Okay, now did you get what you read? Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he or she is a new creation. Old things have passed away, behold, all things have become new. That's true in your life. Now, when we look at that, we can't say, well, I kind of think that. No, 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 that's what the Word of God says about you and me. We're a new creation. Everything has changed. Now, how can we be new if we still think we're old? Are you following me? In other words, we were birthed into this evil world and we were born into sin, but at one point in our life, we were reborn. We are born from above. We're citizens of heaven. And now we're born to purity and to holiness, and we are born of God, and we become this new person in Christ. So everything we do and think is built on the foundation of that sanctification and blamelessness. Are you following me so far? We have this foundation now. It wasn't there before. It was evil, but now it's there, and it's holy and blameless. And that's the foundation we live on. And so as we live on that, every once in a while, we get really stupid and test drive sin. You know what I'm saying? And the problem is, when you begin to think of it the way God thinks of it, then you are holy and blameless, and you walk in holy blameless, but we get stupid once in a while. We keep thinking that somehow sin's going to fulfill us. And we get done, and what happens? We feel that sense of guilt and remorse and failure because we did it. Well, the unsaved don't feel that way. they just keep running. But we stop and we feel that sense of guilt, and it's because we know we're stupid. We know we chose the wrong thing. Now, James puts it this way with temptation, and we're going to camp here. Verse 14 of chapter 1, but each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. We all have weaknesses. We've all participated in sins, and now it's a weak area in our life. And notice he did not say God or Satan drew us away. Did you get that? Man, I tell you, in our society, our superstition is that anything we do wrong, somehow Satan had something to do with it, right? One of the old comedians years ago used to say, the devil made me do it. And that became our theology. He used to say that over and over, and we all laugh in the older generation. We all heard him say that. I can't think of his name now, but anyhow, he would say that, and pretty soon that became our standard theology. That, well, the devil made me do it. Well, no, he didn't. You did it. He may throw some darts once in a while, but you are enticed, and I'm enticed with our own desires. And then in 15, he says, and when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. It's when you act on it in your mind and you begin to fantasize, or you actually act on it, it gives birth to sin. Now listen to me if you can hear this. But until then, when you're experiencing this crushing temptation, you have not sinned. Contrary to popular opinion, it's temptation. Now let me give you an illustration. Several years back, there was a bunch of us in the men's group, and we were at Flatirons, and the movie The Passion was showing. So we all decided to go. So we went up to Flatirons, and I don't know if you've been to Flatirons, but you have the movie house at one end on the outdoor, and then way down there was a Starbucks. I think they've taken it out now. And so we used to go down. Well, anyhow, the guy, I said, I'll buy the tickets, and you guys go down and get our lattes or whatever we're going to have. And so they went down to Starbucks, and so I went to the ticket window, got my tickets, and I'm coming back. The guys, I can see the guys way down there. And then all of a sudden, coming in from the parking lot and through is this amazingly attractive woman. Okay? I mean, she was attractive, and every eye turned on that woman. Not just the guys and me, everybody, the women, the men, everybody. They're just like, it was hilarious to watch. And so they're all watching her go past, and then she's gone, and the guys look at me and they go, Aha, you're a pastor, and you looked at that woman. And you found her attractive, and you stinking sinner. And they're yelling this all the way across down to Starbucks, and I'm up by the ticket booth, you know. I mean, to be honest with you, I couldn't even hardly see her because she was so far away. But they just loved it. Now, I want you to think about this for a minute with me. Let's say we all were pretty attracted. I mean, everyone of us hit that little button in us that we're attracted. And to this woman, and is that a sin? The Bible says no. No. The attraction isn't a sin, it's an emotion. It's an incoming temptation, and it can turn into sin if we let it birth to be sin. Are you following me so far? Okay. Now, what would happen if it sins? Well, James says that it goes far beyond the look. We begin to fantasize. Maybe the men are thinking about, man, I'd like to sleep with her, or I'd like to start an affair, see if I could start an affair, and then pretty soon that bursts into sin. And the women are looking at, wait a minute, they all have their eyes on her and not me. And so I feel like, no, I'm just standing here, but nobody even sees me. I must be transparent. And so pretty soon that becomes a sin for the woman. But I don't think that happened. It was too fast. And I can't read their minds, but it was an issue for me. It was a temptation, just like it was for them, but it wasn't an issue for me. And to be honest, I don't think it was a temptation for any. They were too quickly ready to start teasing me. But they loved harassing me Because they mistakenly, and we went into kind of a teaching series after that, they mistakenly thought that the temptation was the sin, right? And sometimes doesn't it feel that way when temptation comes to your life? It feels ugly, doesn't it? It just feels ugly, and right away you think, oh, I'm such a messed up person. How many of you said that before? Huh? I'm just so evil. But it's temptation. It's the weakness in our flesh that drives that temptation. But you know what? This morning, I am not hopeless. I am not hopelessly lost, and neither are you if you understand the truth. James says it's only temptation, it's only desire. And for you who are trying to figure out how pretty that girl was, you stop it right now, okay? It's still temptation. But I think we have to stop and think, wait a minute, I'm walking in holiness. That woman's attractive, or I don't feel attractive, whatever it is. And it's like, you know what? Stop it. We are walking in holiness. We are walking blamelessly in our Christian life. And until we sin, we're still holy and we're still blameless. Now, let me really prove this to you, okay? Christ had the same problem as us. Now, he's a man. In his ministry, he's 30 years old, pretty prime age. You think he wasn't attracted to women? Stop and think about it for a minute. You think that Jesus looked around the whole time, he thought, boy, I am not attracted to women. Give me a break. Hebrews 2:18. For in that he himself has suffered, being tempted, he was able to aid those who are tempted. Wow. Because he was tempted and he suffered in that temptation, he is able to help you and I in temptation. Now, you know what some scholars say? They go, oh, well, no, Jesus, I don't think Jesus was really tempted. He says he's tempted so we can understand, but he's not really tempted. Oh, well, let's just kind of screw things around there and make the scripture not say what it says. Why? Because they don't understand temptation and sin, the difference themselves. But believe me, Jesus was tempted. Now let me go on in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in some points. Are you reading that up there? All points tempted as we are, yet without sin. So what does that tell you and I? That when we're crushed with temptation, when temptation comes into our life, we can be like Christ. And you're going to find out next week, you have the mind of Christ. And we can look at that temptation and think, man, am I tempted? I almost feel like it would fulfill me or whatever it may be. But we say, but no. I don't have to obey that temptation. And the problem is when we get that temptation, we think we're already sinners. We think, just go ahead and do it. We're already there. And so what does the Hebrews author say that we need to do with that temptation? Verse 16. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace in time to need. Man, we need to Tebow when it gets really bad. Right? Amen? Am I the only one that gets these strong temptations? I don't think so. I don't think so. I want to finish up with just 1 Corinthians 10:13. It's an old favorite, and many of you have heard it before, but it really applies here. No temptation has overtaken you such as is common to man, but God is what? Faithful. Who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. So when you start to get tempted, you think, oh, I'm caving in. It's too much for me. No, quit playing games. You have choice. We all have choice. But God, who is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. My friends, it's always choice. If you look back, every time you choose to sin, now why is it? Because you're holy and blameless, that's why. If you weren't holy and blameless, the blind would be blurry, but it's not blurry. We may want to cloud it up and smoke up the room so it's blurry so we can go ahead and try to be fulfilled with sin. But it's not. You guys are holy and you're blameless, and that's what God created you to do the moment you trusted Jesus Christ. And you have choice. And God, he said, he will not let you be tempted beyond what you're able. He'll stop it. Because Jesus understands he was tempted in all things, yet without sin. Isn't that nice to know that Jesus went through that? That he went through the same thing as us. And so here's the thing. When in 1 Thessalonians 4, when he said that we should know how to possess our own vessel, we do know how to possess our own vessel. It's real clear. Let's not kid ourselves. When we make the choice, we make that choice to do or not to do sin. And I say, we quit making the choice to sin. It's temptation. Yes, it's crushing. But every time you do it, you have that remorse, don't you? You always feel like, man, I need to be forgiven. I hope God loves me. I feel distant and all those kind of things. Because we carry it on through. Let's not carry it on through. That's the choice today. Father, we just come this morning thanking you, Lord. We thank you that you're so great a God, a holy and blameless God who has made us holy and blameless. You've made us like you. And yet, Lord, it's so easy to be tempted. It's so easy to cave in and make that choice to sin. And Lord, I pray the next time that each of us get to that crushing temptation, that you will remind us that it's a crushing temptation, but we have not sinned because the same thing happened to Jesus Christ. Well, our heads are bowed, and you may be here this morning and visiting, or you may have been coming a little while, and you really today realize you need a relationship with God. I want to give you just a quick thought that the Bible says that we've all sinned, that we've all broken that temptation and moved into the sin area. And God says the wages of that sin is death. But then he goes on to say in that same verse, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Romans 10:9, if we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Pretty easy. Pretty easy to become holy and blameless. Pretty easy to bring God into your life. So I'm going to pray a little prayer, and if I'm talking to you this morning, you just pray this prayer along with me. And there's nothing magical about the prayer, just helping you kind of get through to start that relationship this morning. And if you do that, talk to somebody and let them know, because it says confess with your mouth. So let somebody know that you've made that decision this morning. Dear Lord, I know I'm a sinner. I ask you to forgive me of my sin and come into my heart and life. And be the Lord, be the boss of my life. Lord, I believe that what that verse says is that you died on the cross and rose again. And so come into my life and change it and help me to serve you for the remainder of my life. In Jesus' name, and while your heads are still bowed, if you prayed that prayer this morning and you decided today's the day I'm going to make this, raise your hand up. Let God know. Raise your hand up. I have made that decision this morning. Father, we come this morning. What a glorious God you are. Holy, holy, holy. And Lord, we always, each week, kind of stop at the end of this and just say, hey, we want you to feel glorified and honored and holy as a result of our worship and our teaching. And Lord, we give it up to you this morning. We're weak. The scripture says, when we are weak, then are we strong. And so we come in weakness this morning. We come in weakness because we choose to sin. We come in weakness because of the temptation that just beats the living daylights out of us. And we give it all up to you, Lord. And we honor you this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand and worship together.